Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Happy Saturday to you, Olden Polynese, Kelvin Washington with you. Be in your eardrums for the next couple of hours. Couple of years might be a little too long. Couple of hours. I'm laughing because, man, I feel inadequate, Olden. We came in here. We're in here right now ready to do a show just you and I. We don't have 75 people like LeVar. LeVar Arrington just left with a whole crew.
I thought it was like the clown cars?
Yeah,
they just kept coming out.
They just kept coming. I was like, excuse me, how you doing? Hey, excuse me, I'm trying to get, just excuse me, hey.
Nine,
no, I'm just trying to get
11,
the
15, yeah. 21.
I got to step my game up, and it was like, usually you see that many people, like, okay, one person has a camera, one person might have something to like. It was 9 cameras, he had every angle. Behind you, above you, below you. I was waiting on a drone to all of a sudden be in the building.
What's LeVar trying to say?
I don't know. What is he trying to do? I need to be a part of it. A lot to get to in a short amount of time. Of course, getting ready for game 2 tonight, NBA Finals. You have Denver Nuggets who took game
tomorrow,
1.
Tomorrow.
You have the Nuggets who took game 1. And they didn't just take game 1. And as you would know, having played in the NBA, sometimes the score, at least to me, doesn't tell the story. Miami made a good push in the fourth quarter, but really you could just tell it was a dominating game from Denver. And if you look at the stat sheet, Denver kind of got exactly what you would want from every player. Like this guy, KCP, okay, maybe a couple more points from him, but Aaron Gordon played big first. Jamal Murray did what he was supposed to do. Jokic did exactly what he was supposed to do, so on and so forth, even Bruce Brown. Miami, not the case. Guys who had played well, maybe played over what we thought they could do. Guys, are we not all tired of the undrafted narrative? My gosh, like, it's a big deal for sure. But at a certain point, it's like if you had a girlfriend or wife, like, man, you know what? She's pretty from a girl from this town. Like, all right, now, can I just be pretty? Yeah. Can I just be a hooper? How many times you have to keep reminding me that they're undrafted? But I said that to say they did play like they were undrafted game 1 of the NBA Finals.
The cream rises to the top.
It did not rise.
Those guys, and to go back to your point with Denver, you're right. The score is not indicative of how much of a beatdown it was.
Right.
I think the only time the score is important is for gamblers. And so to me, the Denver Nuggets, and it also almost bit them in the butt because it was so easy to build those 20-point leads, it almost came back to bite them because they started really relaxing. And when one thing I've known for certain, whenever they take Joker out of the game, there's a little lull. You know, he just brings so much more. And so to me, that's what I was looking to see, how the rest of the guys came to play. I knew Jamal Murray would be ready. I definitely knew Joker would be ready. But the fact that they concentrated on getting Aaron Gordon shots early, they're like, you're gonna play smalls against him?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to make you pay for it. We're going to force you to make changes. And so when you make the adjustments, people are talking about, oh, yeah, they need to play Kevin Love more. They need to play Zeller. That's what Denver wants.
Right. Now, it's been about 12, 15 years since somebody said they wanted more Cody Zeller. Like, I mean, the only person is Mama Zeller. She might be like, Cody. right. That might be the only person. And I remember reading that. Now, again, you do make adjustments. Again, as you know, yes, every now and again you'll play somebody that maybe was unexpected because they fit like if you go back to the early Cavs-Warriors finals, all of a sudden Matthew Dellavedova, it's not that he's a great player, it's just for this particular series, mm-hmm. he's playing well against Steph because he can get in his nose, body him up, and make it difficult. Not that he's going to stop Steph. You've seen it. I'm a Pistons fan, and I remember Tayshaun Prince against Tracy McGrady back in the day. They're like, "What can we? Tracy McGrady averaging about 62 points against us. What are we going to do?" And then he look around and it's like, this young rookie dude is kind of playing him well. And so yeah. It happens. So I'm not saying Cody Zeller can't find a place or that Kevin Love can't find a place in the series, but to act as if that is the answer, I don't agree with that. But I want to touch on Jimmy Butler for a second, because I want to ask you something in all of your basketball expertise. Is there a such thing as overselling someone that we undersold? And here's what I mean. I think you know where I'm going with that. We all agreed that Jimmy Butler is a guy maybe we should talk about a little bit more, right? And maybe you could say it happened a couple years ago in the bubble when he showed up. Like, dang, okay, Jimmy really is balling. And then not only that, he got him to the finals. He's balling in the finals. And I know everybody looks at the bubble as kind of fluky basketball because you had guys doing stuff they normally don't do. However, Jimmy Butler has had a really nice career. But all of a sudden, he had a really good first round this playoff series, this run, and all of a sudden we're acting like he's the next, he's Jordan, he's this person, we need to put some respect. All of a sudden just automatically called him a Hall of Famer, and I'm like, hold on. We can congratulate someone without going overboard. Yeah. We can say somebody is really good, and man, you know what, he's a guy I would want to have in my foxhole. But we don't have to all of a sudden act like he's top 15 ever. And I think we're starting to do that too. This is my last point. I'll throw it to you, Olden. It's like when somebody says LeBron or Kobe, Tupac or Biggie, for me to start big up in my other guy, I got to start down, you know, down in your guy. And yeah. I feel like I'm starting almost at the down, Jimmy, because people are starting to put him too high.
Yeah, and you're right. And that's unfortunately how we are in this society now. Jimmy Butler's not even the next Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
You know, he's a really good player, and he does bring a certain edge to any team he's on. But let's not get crazy. He's had good runs based on the fact that other teams played like trash. And so a lot of that stuff comes into play, too. Now you're playing against a very smart, talented, and athletic team. It's going to make it a lot tougher for Jimmy Butler. So, no, you're not going to be exposing the Denver Nuggets like you did the Boston Celtics. Case in point, Marcus Smart won the NBA Defensive Player of the Year. Mm-hmm. I saw Marcus Smart do more 360 turns during that series than I've ever seen in my life of any player, let alone a DPOY. And so, to me, it was because of bad decisions, bad basketball, all of a sudden Jimmy Butler became this guy. But like you said, to your point, I'm not going to knock other people to pump up Jimmy Butler. You know, I'm going to respect what he's done, and that's it. Let's not go overboard. And I totally agree with you. We have gone overboard. All the narratives are really over the top nowadays.
And that's the bad part when you don't have something sexy going on. When you don't have the Warriors and Steph and all the glamour that they've had over the last 7-8 years, when you don't have LeBron and, you know, will this make him the greatest of all time?
Yeah, we got to fabricate. You know,
we got to start. I've seen lists, Jimmy Butler, would you rather have, you know, him, Kobe, and again, I'm like, all right, guys.
To keep the fans, and they think it's doing the right thing, but it's really doing a disservice to the league. Because you have 30 NBA teams. That means all 30 are capable of being in the NBA. Mm-hmm. All the players are. Some are going to be better than others. That's why I always get mad at people and say, oh, this guy sucks. He sucks compared to LeBron.
Right. I tell that to people all the time. If you play an NBA, listen, I've been on the court with Jalen Rose and Chauncey Billups and all these other guys. If you ever play ball with Charlie Bell, a guy who is a former pro, let's just say they might even be 6-5 years past, you know, playing days. They will bust your butt so easily at the local YMCA or rec center. Easily. Now I'll take the 15th man on the team. Man, he sucks, like you said. Man, I'm like, dude, if he went to any gym, any pickup run, he would get busy. To your point, I'm sorry I can't handle the rock like Kyrie, the greatest of all time. I'm sorry I can't shoot it like Klay Thompson, but there's only 450 spots in the world in the NBA, and all of these guys secure a spot for a reason. So yeah. I'm totally with you on that. But going back to the Jimmy thing, I think he's been spectacular, and I do think there's something to him being and doing maybe the opposite of Kawhi Leonard. Him kind of saying, I'm going to play the regular season, and I'm going to play most of the games, and I'm going to play hard, but I'm not going to play all the way max out. Or maybe I'm going to give some more responsibility to these other players. And we might lose some games because maybe I didn't go all out and, you know, and dominate this game. But I know I'm going to need him. And I'm going to need him. And I'm going to need him to be confident. And I'm going to need him to remember that time he took over a game back in March. I'm going to need that later. And it seems like maybe Jimmy does that to kind of get himself in a pace that he's able to play and perform in the playoffs, except for obviously game one, and it just was a tough game for him and the whole team. But I think he a little bit of that versus you look at a Kawhi and you just don't know. Kawhi, you're not playing. That's what I want to ask him. Kawhi, aren't you on the court? Kawhi, can we never depend on you? Kawhi, are you taking time off and then not even playing when we need you?
That's a whole other discussion. But I want to make a point here to what you said. Like, Jimmy Butler scored 14 points the other night. I don't give a damn about anything else. You have to step up. Nikola Jokic, first quarter, 6 assists because he saw a mismatch. Mm-hmm. They kept feeding Aaron Gordon.
Yep.
And I think 4 or 5 of his assists were to Aaron Gordon. Then all of a sudden, Miami Heat in the fourth quarter makes a run. So what happens?
Let me go ahead and get y'all some buckets real quick.
I'm the star. Yep. I'm a 2-time MVP. Should have been 3. Give me the ball. And he came through. And all, there wasn't 3-point shots. He got on the block. Turnaround jumper. Stuff he knows he can knock down.
Yep.
And put the game out of commission. It was like, it was beautiful to watch. And I love good basketball. I swear, I love good basketball when it's being played.
Then you, so what you're saying, Odin, is you don't really like most of the NBA then?
I don't. I enjoy it for what it is, entertainment. But when teams aren't playing, when they just coming down, jacking up shots, Boston Celtics.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. I can't watch that. I cannot watch Jalen Brown stand at the top of the key or Jason Tatum stand at the top of the key, go through the legs, pull up jump shots. That's not basketball.
I'm so glad you said that. Because I feel like I keep doing that. We've all done this. We remember our fathers doing it, our grandfathers doing it, your uncles doing it. Boy, that ain't no music. Let me tell you something. Back in the Earth, Wind, and Fire, back in my day, that was music right there. Put that on right there. Boy, let me tell you about the Commodores. Boy, let me tell you something about Little Richie. Let me tell you. Luther Vandross is singing. You got your little Chris Browns dancing out here. So you have that, right? You have your dad talking about, oh, that's no band. Let me tell you about Nirvana. Tell you about the Beatles. You hear that? That is real songwriting right there. Let me tell you about the Beach Boys right there. Brian Wilson, what he was doing was, right?
Yeah, no,
my basketball,
right.
Larry Bird, pass, and then Bill Walton will throw behind the back pass. This up. I'm starting to turn into that guy, and I've always tried to remain hip and cool and, staying in the know, but it's starting to happen. Older where I'm like, all right, first of all, I'm a basketball nut, so I'm going to watch. You have me at hello. I'm going to watch anyway. I love the game. I'm all in, but I watch the games, and I'm like, man, I miss guys operating off of the elbow. You know, just like, hey, I'm going to get an easy bucket. Kobe, and we think of all these amazing, talented guys who can fly through the air, Jordan, Kobe, T-Mac, Vince. It's like, if you actually remember, a lot of it was operated off the elbow or elbow extended, just kind of facing you up, one dribble pull-up.
That's it. Triangle offense, everything else was based off of that.
And it's just, it's crazy to see how we've gotten so far from that. I was listening to somebody recently talk about who they believe a part of the problem is, and I want to throw this at you next. And then I also want to get back to Nikola Jokic and how he makes it so hard to hate him, but is the NBA kind of like, we need another star. I don't know if he'll be the guy that we need to lead the future. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Olden Polynes, Kelvin Washington with you. Of course, we are broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there in unmatched selection, fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Make sure you hit us up on all of the socials as well. A whole lot more. Kelvin Washington, Olden Polynes, we're in on the Jonas Knox Show. Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hi, this is Jay Glazer, and you may know me from the world of football or fighting or even shows like HBO's Ballers. What you don't know is for my entire life, I have lived in something I refer to as the gray. Depression, anxiety. So now I'm coming out with a new podcast, Unbreakable, a mental health podcast with Jay Glazer, where each week, while we talk about mental health, I hope to describe it, give it words. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Jonas Knox Show, Kelvin Washington, Olden Polynese with you on this Saturday. Hopefully it is an amazing one for you. Oh, then what's the Twitter handle and all the good socials?
For myself, it is Olden Polynese 1 at Twitter and Olden Polynese at IG.
All right. Hit him up there.
And whatever, Facebook, MySpace, whatever.
No, just don't stop. Hold on. Just stop right now. You were sounding like what we just talked about. Well, let me tell you something. All this Instagram and TikTok. Back in my day, we had the Book of Face. That's Facebook, uncle. Oh, you know what I mean.
Instant chat or whatever it is.
Shoot, move on MySpace. Although MySpace, it used to get real. You would go on there and look, and all of a sudden somebody demoted you, and you were top 9. Now they're not top 8 anymore. It was going to be some smoke in the city. What's up, bro? Hey, real quick, what's up with that, dog? I saw I'm not in your top 8 no more. Oh, man, no. Man, I'm just trying to promote this business, man. Yeah. My music, I just had to move this other dude. Okay.
Wow.
Okay, I'm just saying, you know, MySpace was a thing for, what else, Vine? Remember Vine?
Oh, Vine was recent, though.
Yeah.
But remember, remember Black Planet?
First of all, all right. So for those who maybe aren't black or who maybe had a burner account and on Black Planet, Black Planet was like MySpace pre-Black. In fact, somebody Google and tell me if I'm right. I feel like everyone took the idea for all the things that we have now from Black Planet. I could be wrong.
But I don't know.
Feel like black. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there was like Christian Mingle was first.
Oh,
maybe
wow.
Fish in the Sea or whatever was for all those other ones.
Oh, yeah, that fish.
The
thing.
Fish joint was real.
Yeah.
Farmers Only, which, by the way, have we confirmed? Do you have to show a picture of your farm to be on Farmers Only? Like, can you be like a city dude but hollering at the farmer girls?
I don't know.
Dun-dun-dun-dun.
Right. Somebody find that out for me. But, yeah, blackplanet.com was real. It was real. I remember I had a girl mad at me because like of a message I had. So I'm like, first of all, we're not even together. Like, what like it was like the first social media beef I ever had. Like, what in the world, girl? Oh boy, I tell you what. Anyway, K-Dub Live for me, KDUBBLIVE on social media. Find me on all the platforms there. Couldn't get Kelvin Washington Olden. On Twitter, it doesn't go all the way that it ended.
That's why I'm old and Polynese one.
Somebody had it?
Yes.
You got a brother, like, you got a son out here? You know,
no, some guy just took my name. That's insane.
Well, how you know his name ain't Olden Polynese? It is 8 billion people on the earth.
His name is not Olden Polynese.
Man, and that Kelvin Washington on Instagram, there's one dude, I've talked about it here before, one young black dude put a picture up back in like 2012. He's never posted since. To the point, Olden, I stopped making jokes because I'm like, maybe he's not with us anymore. But it was just one little picture of him trying to look cool, holding a little towel around his neck. And I was
now,
like,
there's a gazillion Kelvin Washingtons.
There are. And did you notice a lot of them are Asian? There's a lot of Asian Kelvin Washingtons. I'm always shocked. Real talk. Seriously. There are a lot of Sam, there are a lot.
We've digressed so much.
I'm always shocked.
Is Washington a Southeast Asian name?
No, it's the Kelvin part of it.
Right.
There's a lot of Kelvins.
I do know an
Asian Kelvin.
I'm trying. Y'all think I'm joking?
But the Washington.
Not the Washington.
Yeah, I do know an Asian Kelvin.
Isn't Kelvin like a heat? It's a way of it's like Kelvins is a unit of measurement.
Exactly.
Right?
And I was also the Kelvinator as well.
The Fantastic
Kelvin is
Four.
Underused.
Thank you.
So is Calvin.
Well, first, yes. And that like also, Kelvin, by the way, too. A lot of people call me that in my own family.
Calvin.
My mama, my shout out to Mama Dub, who
you
hopefully
need
isn't
to
listening.
Talk to those people.
She called Cat. Like, now she would never say it incorrectly to you all. She'd be like, "Hi, my son is Kelvin." But if I was upstairs back in that, Calvin, come on downstairs.
If you say your name a little like differently, it could come out as Calvin.
Hold on, but Calvin. You put a little too much Cal in that Calvin.
Yeah, right, you got to be Kel, like Keenan and Kel. Kelvin.
Yeah. Settle down. All right, back to what we were saying here. We're talking about Nikola Jokic, 2-time, should have been 3-time MVP, many say. Some still say too old, and because they say the one last year they said
please.
He should have had.
Oh, please. Stop.
Are you giving me recency bias that we realize, okay, he is the best player? By the way, is Giannis Antetokounmpo sitting at home like, yo, if I wasn't injured, maybe we don't lose that series. Maybe y'all don't think I'm not still the best player in the league?
If my aunt had testicles, she'd be my uncle.
And there you have it. Folks, that's our show for today. We'll get back at you next week. I have heard of if was a fifth, we'd all be drunk, but I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, I'm not doing that. I look at my man's stats. That's all I'm going by. I don't care about skin tone. I don't care about nationality. I'm going by stats, okay?
And the eye test.
Embiid had a great year, granted. But you have to do more than just score 30 points. There's other things you have to put together. Bring your team together. That's an MVP. That's the most valuable. And I said this before. When Embiid was out, Sixers won games.
That's true. That is true.
When Giannis was out, Milwaukee won games. When Joker was out, they got drugged.
That's a whole different team. Yeah, that's a great point because
they
that's
got
a whole
drugged.
Different team. That is a whole different team for sure. I want to talk about how so a couple of things he does. First of all, I hate that he's so non-hateable, if that makes sense.
So nice.
He's so nice. He wears
so
his wedding ring
on his
shoelaces. At the end of the game, he points to his left hand because of something that he and his daughter do. Yeah.
He's wholesome.
He makes fun of himself. You're the best player in the league. And he's like, he gets uncomfortable with it.
He hates that.
I'm like, man, this guy is so...
But isn't that refreshing?
It is. It is. But the problem with that is, and not problem, but I think if you're the league, you're used to having LeBron have been the face of the year, and he's probably still maybe the face as far as recognition, but, you know, your superstars had something charming about them, something, you know, something... Even if it was, I didn't like the whole Charles Barkley. You know, I'm a tough guy. You don't like me. I'm not a role model. Like, with Jokic is like, what do we promote? Like, what do you do? Build-A-Bear? Like, how do you market him? He's not the typical NBA player in that regard of like it's something there. I don't know what you do with it.
This is how the best way to describe it. And again, it goes back to we were sitting at home, my wife and I, and watching videos of Magic, Bird, and Jordan. Because he's like, yeah, I've never seen these guys play that.
Yeah.
So I show her all the videos. She's like, oh, my God, you could tell they're stars. But these guys became stars. They weren't fabricated.
I might not give you Magic because he was a star in high school.
But that's what I'm saying. They became stars. That's my point. They became stars. Magic was a star in high school. They gave him the nickname Magic. It wasn't forced. It wasn't fabricated.
I got you.
So it's like Bird is a star in college, in high school. We're hearing about him. People talk about, I didn't know he was white, you know, as right. good as right. he was. Michael Jordan, the shot in college. So all these things were happening. Charles Barkley, you know, his personality was already there. Ron Minor rebound. So we didn't have to make it up. It right. was already there. It just grew. Now we have to create stars. We have to create these guys. And that's the problem the NBA is having. Because, okay, Jimmy Butler's a great player. He's into country music. I love that.
Yeah.
That's him. That's his thing. But it's like, so the marketing's going to go for that route. He has a big commercial and all that yep. stuff. So you can do that. Joker said, you know what? We don't see a lot of Giannis in commercials.
You just know? A couple, but yeah. For how big like, he is, yeah.
For as big as he is. Where's Embiid?
Ooh, you ain't never lied.
Where's Embiid?
Is Embiid in Philly talking about, hey, when I would like a car, I go to Bob's That's dealership on so Fifth Street. Like,
you know, LeBron has commercials. Steph has commercials. The rest of the league. Kawhi has one.
And that's or two, one maybe. Too many. That's yeah. too many.
And so it's
Chris Paul still has a great – that whole Cliff Paul was a great campaign.
Yeah, Chris Paul.
That was a great campaign.
I love that. But it's like there's not enough of these guys. And so to the point where we have to make up storylines and narratives. And so that's my thing. I just don't like it right now because we're creating and fabricating stars. And that's the problem that I'm having.
Well, at least we know we'll have one coming up, at least in the new Ja Wick. They call it that man, Ja Wick. They call it that man, Ja Wick. So we know he'll have a movie coming out. Man, Ja Wick, the memes coming up. All right, so a whole lot more to get to. Of course, getting you ready for game two of the NBA Finals happening tomorrow. We'll talk about that some more in store, too. And I want to ask Olden about coaches, some new hires in the NBA. Mm. How much does a coach really make? How much of a difference do they really make? We'll discuss that. But right now, it's what's trending.
Yeah, Brian Fenley here, and thanks Kelvin and Olden. As far as what's going on right now, NBA forward Julius Randle had surgery on his left ankle and is scheduled to be back for the Knicks training camp. Former UConn head coach Kevin Ollie joining the Nets coaching staff. Game one of the Stanley Cup final getting underway tonight in Vegas. Golden Knights clashing with the Florida Panthers starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. As far as Major League Baseball games going on right now, the Rays are taking it to the Red Sox 3-0, top of the fifth inning. Tampa has runners on first and second. Tigers and White Sox just underway, middle of the second inning there. The Memorial Tournament is happening. PGA Tour Hideki Matsuyama has the lead at 9-under collectively. He is 2-under for the day through four holes. Patrick Cantlay, former UCLA Bruin, is two shots off the pace in solo second at 7-under, 1-under today. Four holes in. And Rory McIlroy is four strokes behind at 5-under for the tournament, 1-under today through six holes. A lot of baseball coming up, Olden and Kelvin, later on today, including that big Dodgers game, which is going to be on Fox Television at 7:15 Eastern time. Dodgers and Yankees. With that, let's get it back to Olden Paulnis and Kelvin Washington.
Appreciate you, Brian. Brian, don't be coming on here trying to give me your super,
give him this super radio. But he's like, hey, I'm just going to hop on there with you guys and just take over. Is that what you're trying to get?
No,
there?
You didn't know my name. So I was trying to so people didn't know, because we've worked together.
Brian, hold on, Brian.
Uh-oh.
Sam, cut the music.
Hey.
First off, Olden, why are you coming at me like, how do you know I didn't know your name? There's a difference. Let me ask you.
Okay.
I didn't say your name or I didn't know your name.
A good point. You know what they say about people who assume.
Yes.
So you have a great point there, Kelvin.
Listen, you know what I mean? He comes in here and he got his V-neck on down to his belly button. He over here feeling himself.
You're not supposed to tell anybody that, Kelvin.
You know,
Brian, I know Kelvin knew your name.
Yeah.
I knew.
Thank you. And listen, I'll hit you with this, Brian. You see this cup here that says Loyola Law School? That's why I was able to come back at you with that defense. My wife graduated law school, so now I feel like I'm a lawyer. You can't tell me nothing right now. Anybody got any issues, holler at your boy. I can take care of it. Anybody, what you need right now? You some parking tickets? I got you.
Yes.
You know, somebody got some issues. Somebody going through a divorce? I got you. You need an yes. entertainment lawyer?
I'm over here, yes.
All right, hold on. We'll talk after this. All right, so I want to get to coaching real quick. Just heard Brian talking about Kevin Ollie going to be an assistant coach over there with the Nets. You got Frank Vogel. Look like he's going to be the coach with the Phoenix Suns. My Detroit Pistons, obviously, getting Monty Williams there. First off, just the ones that jump out to you, do you like those hirings? And then I want to ask you, from your time playing, how much of a difference does a coach make? You know, they have the WAR, wins above replacement, all these types of stats, and, you know, they say this player in baseball can win you three extra games, this player in basketball. What is a coach good for? How would you see that?
Well, I'll start with that one first. Coaches do make a difference. We used to say some coaches are worth 5-10 games a season. And so I was lucky enough to play for some of the greatest coaches ever. And so to me, Jerry Sloan, Casey Jones, Bernie Bickerstaff, I mean, I had all these guys, Don Chaney. So they knew how to handle situations. They didn't break down. You know, they were calm, cool, collected in the moment. And we didn't have all this, all these statistics and analytics. It was go out there, play basketball, run our offense, play defense, win the game. That was it.
Right.
There was nothing else.
Seems simple.
And so to me, excuse me, it's changed now with analytics. Well, he likes to shoot over here. He likes, no, at the end of the day, it's still a basketball game. And I think that's where a lot of these coaches have faltered, because they are trying to, like, coach by analytics as opposed to coaching what I have. You know, this guy, yeah, the analytics might say he does this, but I might be able to use him better over here. So it's one of those weird situations. And, again, people are just trying to maintain their jobs. We've seen coaches a year or two removed from championships getting fired.
Ain't that crazy?
It's the most absurd thing I've ever seen. And so it's like, but at the end of the day, they turn right back around and get rehired. So
yeah, but okay, I'm glad you said that. So that's what makes it weird for me. Like, Frank Vogel sucked a year ago all of a sudden, or whatever the case may be for the Lakers to get rid of him. But now he's great enough to go to a team that has championship expectations. Yeah. Like, what is, like, Monty Williams, hey, you led this team. All of a sudden, you stabilized the Phoenix team that wasn't talking about nothing for about 10, 12 years since Steve Nash. Now, all of a sudden, they're relevant. They're good. That we have high expectations. They make it to an NBA Finals not too long ago. Yep. Get out. But yet Detroit's like, oh, that's our guy. It's like,
and we're giving you $78 million.
And we're giving you all the bag. We gave him the whole bag. So it's like, what? It just makes me laugh. To your point, first of all, who has more jobs in the history of NBA coaching than Mike Woodson? I feel like Mike Woodson has coached half of the NBA, if not more. I mean, I'm sure there's a couple of the guys, if I put my brain to it, that just like, they just went from team to team to team to team to team. And it's like, okay, is he good? Is he good coach or not? Like, what are we? Because to me, yes, a retread a time or two, I get that. But I would be looking for the next fill in the blank from maybe whether it's college or whether it's a guy in a, who, let me find my Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah.
And I want to throw this at you. Eric Spoelstra, good years, great years, championship year, bad years. Why isn't the NBA a little bit more, and maybe even all leagues, a little bit more like the Pittsburgh Steelers? And Mike Tomlin, you know, they have three coaches in what? It's like 70 years, literally,
yeah,
where they're just like, hey, these guys work. We know they're not always going to have great seasons. Obviously, Mike Tomlin hasn't had a losing season, but my point is, this is our guy. We're going to ride with him through the ups, through the downs. Sometimes it's our fault. We didn't surround him with the right talent. Sometimes it's literally just that dude was injured. Sometimes, hey, we gambled. That guy just wasn't good enough. But that's our guy. I'm always weirded by that, like, coach of the year fired. Championship fired in a year or two. Like, is he your guy or nah?
That's true. I mean, to your point, the Steelers are an aberration, along with right now with the
Heat.
San Antonio Spurs. With Pop,
yep,
and now the Heat. And then also with, depending on what he decides to do, the Warriors with Steve Kerr. So Steve Kerr can do whatever he wants. Popovich can do whatever he wants. Spoelstra can do whatever. But the key of it is this. The Steelers knew that they wanted continuity.
Mm-hmm.
And they built that culture, just like the Heat. Famously said by Pat Riley, don't you ever come in my office telling me who to fire.
Yeah.
He's not firing Eric Spoelstra. It doesn't matter if it's the owner or whomever. He will stand up for it, because it's like, hey, we have something good here. And the key to it is this, like with Tomlin, Popovich, and Spoelstra and Kerr, the message changes. Even though it's the same, we got to win, but they find different ways to say the same message over and over. So it's not old.
Right.
It still sounds fresh. It still sounds exciting. And so to me, that's the key. A lot of these guys aren't able to do that. A lot of these coaches aren't even people persons. They just got a job, you know? So they think they got to act a certain way or be a certain way. It's not even conducive to them. It's just like, hey, this is how I thought I was supposed to act and be. And then you get caught. But to your point, like, guys get fired. My man wasn't good enough for the Lakers, but now he's good enough for the,
I'm just like, wait,
for the Suns, which is a nice team.
And he's walking right into expectations.
A five-year contract at that.
And he's walking in, he's walking into, like, it's championship or bust.
Yeah.
He's not walking into
rebuild
yeah. or let's have a – hey, we make – between you and us, you and I, if we make it to the playoffs, that's a good seat. Like, no, he's walking in. Hey, bro. Championship or bust.
I've always said this. This is what I would like to see. And it's nothing against any of those gentlemen, you know, because I wouldn't want it to happen to me. But I do believe it should be talked about. If you get fired as a coach with a losing record,
okay,
you should have to sit out a year.
Mm.
You should not be getting rewarded with a better job. That's just my opinion. I just don't like that part of it. Now, if you're winning, like Budenholzer never should have been fired. I'm sorry. He should not have been fired. His brother died. You know, so many different things was happening. And, you know, Giannis gets hurt. And then you're going to fire him? He's allowed to go get another job somewhere. But if a guy is just struggling, like a Dwayne Casey when he was with Detroit,
yep.
He should not be getting a job right now.
Well, he got one. He's in hanging out in the office. I don't know. He lost up.
He should not upgrade.
he got upgraded right there. But I always see that all these coaching moves, and I'm just kind of weirded out by it. I'm like, I don't get it. Like, if I got a guy, I'm gonna give him some time. We suck. We got this rebuilding process, and he's slowly inching us in the right direction. Or if you have again a situation where, look, man, this guy had you brought up Coach Bud. It's like lost his brother. Giannis out a couple of games, and yes, Giannis came back, and they probably should have won those games. But just it's like you're not rewarded for anything. And I know it's a what have you. Janet Jackson is loving it. What have you done for me lately? I understand that, but I'm just always kind of like, dang, like.
Some of the jobs are stopgaps.
Okay, yeah,
you know,
that's true.
The NBA, a lot of the GMs, they'll bring in a guy for a year or two. You know, we saw it with Silas. You know, in Houston. That was a stopgap. He wasn't going to be that long. I mean, I love him. His father was like a dear friend of mine. Mm-hmm. Rest in peace. But it's like he was not going to be the guy to lead them to the promised land. You know, he's just not on that level. There's only a few coaches, just like players. There's only a few high-level coaches.
You just reminded me when Paul George admitted he's not that guy. A couple months ago, for those who don't, Paul George was on his podcast, and he just said at a certain point he realized, like, I'm not the one, and by one, I mean, like, a type of player, that caliber of player who just having me, we're going to get to, you know, the finals or get to a championship.
I like the honesty.
I did. I appreciate that. And I hate that everybody, oh, man, I would never say. I'm like, dude, how about he plays? How about he, first off, he is himself. Secondly, he plays the game. He's around folks, and he knows what it takes. Like, and you just said it. There's only five guys or so that you're like, all right, and they're prime. I mean, obviously LeBron's is past that, but like you knew, prime LeBron, we go into the finals.
Paul George has all my respect. To come back from the injury he had, I ain't got nothing negative to say about him.
Yep. All right, that's a great point there. Olden Polynes, Kelvin Washington with you in on the Jonas Knox Show here at Fox Sports Radio, being brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your motorcycle, RV, boat, ATV, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at Progressive.com. Just a report comes out that Russell Wilson had a chance to have played for another team in 2022, but he messed up the deal. We'll talk about that next as Fox Sports Radio. Hey. Hey. Shout out to Janet Jackson. She's going to be out here back on tour doing her thing.
Was that at Yamava?
You're somewhere. Yeah, one of these casinos out here. Yep. Mm-hmm. Thinking about taking a wife, but she's studying for the bar right now. So she said, looked at me and said, boy, you know I ain't going to. And she was that gift. Ain't nobody got time for that. I was like, okay. Because she loves Janet Jackson. Jonas Knox Show, Kelvin Washington, Olden Polynes, and for Jonas. 877-996-6369, 877-99 on Fox if you want to reach out. Olden Polonese 1 for Olden, K-Dub Live for myself, social media, feel free to reach out to us. Welcome back into the Fox Sports Red Zone Radio Live from the TireRack.com studios. Real quick little football talk. We've been talking a little heavy NBA, obviously, as we are in the NBA Finals. But there is a report from Ian Rappaport and some others about the fact that there was a chance last season during the offseason that Russell Wilson was going to be traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. And that they were looking at him. They were really interested in him during the combine time. And that he was in the Commanders as well were looking at him. But that eventually the deal kind of fell through because he said, nah, he had a no trade clause and he was not interested in joining those teams. Boy, did that not go right for him and go extremely right for the Eagles.
Man.
You talk about sometimes God works in mysterious ways. I think the Eagles fans found exactly who they want for the next decade in Jalen Hurts.
Yes.
They found their guy. They found their success. He played an amazing Super Bowl. You can kind of tell the way he's built mentally, the way he works out his body physically. And Olden, if you look at his history, just adversity after adversity, you're going to be the guy. Wait, no, hold on. Tua's the guy. You're going to be this guy. No, wait. Okay. We're going to draft you high. We'll draft you a little bit later. It's like he just keeps trucking along. Innovative in that his agent, his whole entire staff around him is all women. So this guy is a star, and I think obviously Eagles got that right, and then it just went bad for Denver.
Oh, man. It was, I mean, you think about it, in hindsight, it's like, yeah, it worked out well, but I still wouldn't have done it even without Jalen Hurts. Okay. I mean, Russell Wilson had his moments and his time. And so what happened was, that whole situation in Seattle with Pete Carroll, man, it just started deteriorating. But when he got to Denver, he was a shell of himself.
Man.
And it's almost like he's a system quarterback. We realize that now.
He's a system quarterback. And I don't want to believe it, but I'll say this, Olden. All of those former teammates who just either no comment, had nothing positive to say, or who were going at him over
at
the
him,
years.
Exactly.
It's like, man, it's
system
to
quarterback.
It.
And yeah, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And so to me, yeah, you know, he comes across as this guy. He's a good family man, and I get all that. But at the end of the day, it's what are you doing on the field?
Right.
And so to me, he was in a great situation. I would have found a way to stay in Seattle. You know, outside of that botched debacle, or whatever you want to call it,
in the Super Bowl. That still don't make no sense.
That, I'm never going to understand that one.
I
know, right?
That's, I mean, I really do think, I can't think, I'm trying to think, you guys help me out. Can you think of any bigger blunder in sports? Where, like, it's an obvious, like, the dude, you just handed him the ball, he got like 6 yards, fell down at the 1.5 yard line. They barely want to stop.
Everybody knew Marshawn was getting the ball, he still was going to get in.
They didn't call that man Beast Mode for no reason.
He was still getting in.
And the Patriots were going to retreat a little bit, trying to save a little bit of time. Anyway, we don't have to rehash that, but that was one of those.
Yeah, so that's his whole thing. And then, you know, the whole situation in Denver was just, it was horrible. You know, Hackett gets fired and all that because Russell was not, he wasn't used to that system and that style and having to carry a team. He had help in Seattle. He had the defense, one of the top defenses, and just a great situation offensively, you know, with
familiarity
weapons.
Too.
Yeah. Like, and you, so to me,
yeah,
it was horrible.
It didn't look good at all. You know, the things that you thought, like, okay, well, at least you can rely on this with him, wasn't the case. And again, you start to see, at least perceptionally, I won't speak for the players, it looked like some of the players weren't buying him. Yeah. You saw some of the tweets. You saw some of the reactions on the sideline with him, some of the facial expressions. Yeah. You heard about guys got to, you know, how they couldn't approach him. And, you know, he had certain. Yeah.
And you just, think it would have been better in Philadelphia?
Ooh, them fans would have.
They booed Santa Claus.
They did boo Santa Claus. Santa Claus chilling in the North Pole right now. Like, I'm drinking the kids' gifts. Why y'all mad at me? But it's interesting. And that's one of the best things about sports is you just never know. As much as we all think we know, even with, you know, Victor Wabanyama, if I know, ooh, I butchered that name, he might end up, who knows, he might
don't
be.
Don't ask me anything about him.
Oh, you got some intel or something? All right, hold on. Don't be dropping little stuff like that. Don't, that you just gave me my tease. When we come back, Olden is going to break down some more news about Victor. We'll talk about it. Fox Sports Radio. Relax, Olden. You got a few more hours till your Yankees lose to the Dodgers.
Hey,
again.
Hey.
Did I say that?
Stop. Okay?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. Did I tell you Mookie Betts is really good at baseball? I don't know if you're aware of that.
I have a stepson that plays baseball and is a Dodger fanatic.
Well,
I had to hear
right
it
now,
all man. Last night. And it was like, and I had to take it. We laid a massive egg. So, man, I don't know what the. Anyway, I know I can't cuss and all that, but so no, they play well. Yeah, the Dodgers.
Just hit the off button real quick. Let it out.
I'm just giving the Dodgers credit right now because we play like awes.
Well, that's the great thing about it. You come right back today and tomorrow, and you got a shot to you know, do your thing. Obviously,
I hope we get one. I'm not even saying we're going to get two. I'm hoping we get one.
Is it already at the place, Olden, where you're like, just don't embarrass me?
Oh, yeah, I've
just
been
don't,
there.
Just don't embarrass me. Jonas Knox Show, Kelvin Washington, Olden Polynes in for you. About another hour or so for us. Again, reach out to us, 877-99 on Fox, or you can also reach out to us on our social media, Olden Polynes 1, Kelvin K-Dub Live for myself. We are broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. An unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Of course, NBA Finals tomorrow. We got the Nuggets up 1-0 over the Heat. Many folks saying the Heat should just be happy to be there. Obviously, if you know Pat Riley, that ain't the case. Nope. Pat Riley's coming in there, and then that whole organization is feeling like, why not us? Obviously, they're outgunned, if you will. They're under-talented when it comes to the Nuggets. But, hey, every single series we keep going, that's good enough, but they're not going to make it. Okay, that's good enough, but they're not going to make it. And they keep doing so. A couple other things I want to get to before we get back to the NBA Finals. I want to throw this at you. You and I were talking about this off air. What do you do if you're the Celtics? I want you to put on your GM hat right now. Mm-hmm. Because on one end, you can say, hey, man, all I know is Jaylen Brown has been to 5 Eastern Conference Finals. Tatum, I believe it's 4. We've been to the NBA Finals last year, and we were a half away, if you will, from going again this year. They're both under 26, so our two wings, who are both all-NBA players, they're all-stars, they're under 26, just keep chugging along, just keep pushing. Then there's others who say, I've seen this show before, we've been here before, and at a certain point, we got to move on, kind of sell while it's high, right? Jaylen Brown, an all-NBA player, let's get something good for him while we can. Obviously, you're not getting rid of Tatum. What side of the coin are you on when it comes to the Boston Celtics?
I'm on the side of I got to get rid of one of those two guys. And I'm keeping Jason Tatum because he does a little bit more, especially on the defensive end, which is very pronounced between he and Jaylen Brown. And I'm not tying my team up to $600 million for two guys. That's absurd. So he's all NBA. Let me get something for him now because that's not going to work anymore. We've seen this movie. It's happened. We're good. That's it. And the funny thing about it, you know, yeah, they made it to
Eastern Conference Finals,
but if the 76ers hadn't played like us in that game when they were up 12, you know, Doc Rivers with his record losing 3-1 leads, Boston never should have been in there at all. And so to me, they lucked up. Luck runs out. And to me, the Boston Celtic luck, that leprechaun luck, it's run out. So I'm getting rid of Jaylen Brown. And I'm definitely doing upgrade. And I need a point guard. I need a legitimate, real point guard. I don't need
not the Marcus Smart.
Marcus Smart masquerading as a point guard. Malcolm Brogdon masquerading as a point guard. Derek White masquerading as a point guard. I need a point guard that can help this team.
Well, point. I mean, that's obviously a hard position to find that guy. And then not only that, if you're saying I'm trading Jaylen Brown, is there a point guard out there? Because I heard some people saying, you know, they're Chris Paul away or something like that. First of all, the issue for them is obviously late in the season in the playoffs. Chris Paul ain't going to be there. It's like that magic gift when he's like, he shakes his head. I'm not going to be there. That's like Chris Paul. He's not going to be there. But it is. I find myself being like, can I make another move while not necessarily getting rid of those two? Can I find a diamond in the rough? You know, can I pull a you got to give credit where credit's due, a Rob Pelinka, in that now getting Austin Reeves, who's about to get pizzed, Rui Hachimura, who's about to get paid. Can I find my other pieces like that? You know, is it a D'Lo situation? You know, is it, which I don't know that's the answer, but I'm, you know, finding D'Angelo Russell. But can I find something out there without having to blow up the ship? Because we've had so much success over the last 4 or 5 years that I don't want to blow it all up and then all of a sudden find myself an 8-7 seed for the next 4 or 5 years.
It's okay if you're 7th, 8th seed or whatever it is, because at the end of the day, you're going to get better. You know, you're going to get better through the draft, and you're the Boston Celtics. They're going to figure it out. I'm just saying, I'm not tying up $600 million. That's my whole thing right now. And again, hey, it's your money. Spend it the way you want. But if they're trying to improve and get better, these are the things they need. Those two guys cannot coexist anymore. They've been doing it and a little bit forced in a lot of ways. And so to me, that's what people are looking at. It hasn't been like very cohesive. It's been forced in a lot of ways. And so that's the key. The point guard's an issue. We need shooters. We need legit shooters, not guys masquerading as shooters. We need legit shooters, you know, because at the end of the day, like I said, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown play exactly the same way. The only difference between the two of them is that Jason Tatum is a little bit better.
He's more refined.
Defender. Yeah, he's a little bit more refined with his moves, but they still have the same ugly drive to the, with the left turnover move.
No, listen, I'm not going to lie to you.
I don't like all this stuff, man. I'm not the old NBA guy hating. I just like to call things as it is.
I ain't going to lie to you. Jaylen Brown looks like me trying to ice skate. Like, Jaylen Brown is on the floor all the time when he starts doing, like, if he takes more than three dribbles, something bad is about to happen.
He looks like he's wearing ice skates sometime when he's playing. Like, he's always falling down. The moves he make, they look awkward.
Because
it's weird as heck watching him play.
Because
again,
he's supposed to be.
What he's done out of Cal, you know, how he's become a great player. And I'm not going to take that away from him. But also, you have to know who you are. And that's key, too. I don't think he's thinking he's up here. He's Kobe and all these guys, MJ, LeBron. No, you're not. You're not.
Well, I think, and he'll tell you, I think he has that whole mindset, if I don't believe it, you know, I can't be it kind of a thing. You know, like that self-assurance thing.
Self-aware man. Paul George, we talked about earlier, saying I'm not the one. Right. Doesn't mean I'm not a good player. I'm
very,
not the
very
one.
Good player.
Yeah, I'm just not that guy. I'm not the guy that's going to lead your team. I'm Robin.
I think we've undersold Paul George, by the way. I mean, I know whole playoff P joke, but Paul George is a heck of a player, man. Like, when he's healthy and he's playing, he's a phenomenal player. You get it on, you know, defensive end as well. I'm a big fan of Paul George. It'd be interesting to see what they do. Also, I mentioned the Lakers a minute ago. It'd be interesting to see if they can obviously sign those two young players for themselves, who they're going to be expecting to get paid.
So let me ask you a question, not to cut you off.
No, you're good.
So Jaylen Brown he's getting $300 million.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't stop Caleb Martin.
He made him some money.
He couldn't stop Max Strus. He got backdoor like 78 times by Duncan Robinson.
Yeah.
And I'm giving you $300 million?
Here's the thing, though. The problem with that is, as you know, with salary caps, if when they go up and certain things like that, it's like, well, I have to pay somebody this money anyway.
I know how it works, but right. I'm asking you a question.
Jaylen, no, first of all, it's like 10 guys worth the money that these guys are getting now. You know what I mean? If LeBron is worth it just simply based off who he is, okay, fine. You got Steph, you got Giannis, Embiid, obviously Jokic. And, you know, maybe if you want to say Tatum, I'm not mad at that. But after about Booker, by the way, Booker, he had a heck of a playoff run. And then obviously like Katie. Kevin but outside Durant. Of that, yep. It's like, nobody's really.
Drop down to the next level.
Yeah, nobody's really worth it.
And it's okay that you're at the next level. Luka, you're still a star. And I said this a while ago. Big difference between star and superstar. And the money should reflect that.
I'm glad you said that. Man, I wish we had some of the same folks who were here last time I was here. Sam, I think you were here the last time I was here. Do you remember we had that conversation when I said that there is a difference between a superstar, a star, and a really good player? And I gave the example, and you are a perfect person to ask this, Olden. Klay Thompson is not a superstar. He's a star.
Yeah.
I got backlash on that. I also said that Bam Adebayo is not a star. He's a really good player. And everybody was arguing with me about it and made it a big old deal. I'm like, what are you talking? I'm like, yeah, you got to understand, superstar is Steph. It's Giannis. It's LeBron. That's a superstar.
Is Jokic.
Now Jokic. Yeah, now Jokic is a superstar.
They got to be in different tiers. Yes, you got to break them
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
It's not disrespect to those guys. Just call them a star.
Right, no, but people
are. But you got to talk about like the top 10 elite.
Yeah, people have gotten crazy with the stars and superstars. I think we throw star around a little bit too much, too.
Yeah.
I have to hit people with the Nate Dogg. Hold up. All these people are not stars that y'all keep saying are stars. They're really good players.
Really good.
Hold up.
Thank you. Have that on deck because I might just have a whole hold up segment here and just start going crazy on people about some stuff. All right, I want to come back to this. Jimmy Butler. Playing well, not a great game one, talked about it. By the way, we got to talk about this. Two free throws in an entire game?
Eesh.
Touch on that. And also, if by some miracle chance, Olden, the Heat pulled this off, would this be the least talented winning team, championship team that we've ever seen? We'll talk about that next. Olden Polynes, Kelvin Washington with you in on the Jonas Knox Show, Fox Sports Radio.
Hold up.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carvin and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in the Fox Sports Radio Zone, Radio Live from the TireRack.com studios. Olden Polynes, Kelvin Washington with you. Olden Polynes, one for him. K-Dub Live for me on social media. Reach out to us there. Is this called ska music or something like that? Did I say it right, Sam?
This is the English beat.
But this is like ska genre, right? Isn't that what that's that? It's
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, a little horn section, little kind of the guitar's a little choppy there. Right, yeah, Mirror in the Bathroom by the English Beat. Right.
Yeah, shout out to them.
Shout out to them. Their lead singer died a few years ago.
Oh, no, but now really shout out to them. Now, yeah, I'm going to stop now before I say something crazy. All right, before we actually get into what I wanted to go back to the Heat and Jimmy Butler and this run they've had and if they messed around Nikola Jokic, I would say twisted an ankle and wasn't himself. Not got hurt. I would never want to wish that on anybody. But, you know, if he just something happened, he wasn't himself, and the Heat win, I want to talk about would that be one of the more least talented teams we've had in quite some time. Before I get to that, though, I want to get to real quick. We were talking off air a little bit. Victor Wembanyama.
That's it.
7 foot. 12, four, and I know that's five, not even a thing, six. But he's like, whatever he is, wingspan, 10 feet 8. Everyone is excited. He's a new savior of San Antonio. Greg Popovich and the crew been tanking for years to get this kid. Isn't it ironic that the team has had some of the better French players in the last couple of decades land this kid, this French kid? Huh. Your thoughts on him? As a former big in the league.
And again, the old ex-NBA guys are hating. No, I'm not. I just do my homework.
Okay.
And I don't get caught up in the moment. You know, I'm not a prisoner of the moment because I'm not going to be buying all this. Oh, he's the greatest talent ever. You ain't even seen him touch a Wilson basketball. And all of a sudden, he's the greatest ever. No. He's a young man with a lot of skill sets and a lot of talent and a lot of length. But I've watched this kid play, and I've seen this already. I've seen Bol Bol. I've seen Chet Holmgren. I've seen Ralph Sampson.
Porzingis.
I've seen Porzingis. I've seen this movie. And so to me, one of the things that really stood out for me was when he was playing against Kenneth Lofton, who was a two-way player with the Memphis Grizzlies. Kenneth Lofton was destroying this kid. I mean, destroying. So I'm saying to myself, okay, so if Kenny Lofton's doing this, what's Giannis, Joker, Embiid? What are those guys going to do? Yes, I'm sure he's going to have some success because San Antonio is good on development.
They are.
But at the same time, let's hold the hyperbole of, oh, my God, he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. He's going to supersede LeBron James. He's going to... Stop. We need to really stop with all this.
But listen, the one thing I'm extraordinarily tired of is the whole this person is the next LeBron. Because I was telling you, when you say that, it's like, do you know what you're encompassing when you say that? Like, we already did it with Jordan for too much, right? This is Vince Carter, Harold Meyer, we're just picking a player. Like, this next one, I'm like, all right, settle down. And now for somebody to be the next LeBron. I'm like, first of all, you're saying this person has to be amazing,
amazing.
For 20 straight years.
Out the bat.
Right out the gate.
Yeah.
Amazing. You're saying that this player is capable of taking, I don't want to disrespect and call them bums, but taking guys who your teams that are less than and taking them not just to the playoffs, not just to a conference final, but taking them to the finals and in some cases even winning with guys you're like, how they do that?
Yeah.
Like you're saying a whole lot.
Yeah.
So I don't like how we continue to set guys up. And I'll even be critical of somebody who I'm a massive fan of, the person, the player, everything. Magic Johnson, remember when he was when the Lakers drafted D'Angelo Russell and they drafted Lonzo Ball and he's like, oh, they're going to – replace my stats and be all this. I'm like, Magic, do you know how good you are? Like, let's just settle down saying that somebody's about to be the next you and just replace all your stats. Like, let's stop building these guys up. Especially, Olden, you can attest to this. It's a different era where guys are coming in incredibly young. They don't know how to play the game. They're talented. They've had their own personal trainers nowadays, and they're coming in with maybe a better handle, coming in with maybe a better form of a shot, but they don't know how to play basketball yet. They don't know how to win yet.
They're
so young.
30 games over there in one season. He's about to play three times that.
That's a great point.
So it's absurd when we make these statements, and I don't know if it's coming from the scouts, if it's coming from media, from who, but it's like people need to relax and all this stuff, okay? And you're putting so much undue pressure on the kid. Yes, the only thing I can say is I have not seen anybody 7'5", 7'6", okay, do what he's doing. Only because he's 7'5". I've seen it done at 7'4". I've seen it done at 7'3". So that's it. Chet Holmgren is only an inch or two shorter than him, and he handles, he shoots threes. That's what I'm saying. They tried to make Bol Bol that guy. Even Ralph Sampson, when he was coming out, oh, no, we're not going to let you handle the ball. He was way ahead of his time.
Agreed.
He could handle the ball and shoot from outside, but they said, no, get in the low block and play post-up basketball. And so, again, I wish the young man well, but let's not get carried away.
One thing I think is getting, you could say, carried away is we're starting to have the stars from around the world are taking over the NBA. And there's always been the case where the NBA has had, you know, stars from different countries. That's just one of the, it's been more of a, it's not like the NFL where everybody's just about American born, like 98.999%.
99.
Right, exactly. I mean, probably more higher than that. But, you know, now you look at it, I mean, you start to, if Victor, just the hype alone, let's say he never even lives up to it, but just the hype alone, he's going to be one of the more talked about players next year. And he is, you know, you got a French player, you got Serbian, you got with Jokic and obviously Luka and Embiid is, you know, obviously he played some college Cameroon. Here, but Cameroon. I mean, you got Giannis, Greece. Yep. Definitely the world stage. I mean, you can go back.
Most of these guys, I mean, technically. Kyrie was born overseas.
Yeah, technically.
Technically. Ben Simmons, Australian.
We're talking about guys in the NBA. Oh, then we talk about guys who are in the NBA.
You mean guys that are playing or guys in the NBA? Because is in the NBA.
I don't know if
he's
going to be in the NBA next year, bro. I don't even know. But, yeah, you got – who else is a couple Canadian, Andrew
There's
Wiggins.
There's a ton of those guys. Yeah. Pascal Siakam. You have all the guys from Africa. So it's but you know who you got to give credit to for that?
The Dream Team?
No. I mean, they were already there. Hubie Brown.
Well, what else? I mean, he's the Bible of basketball.
Hubie Brown was going overseas teaching fundamentals, and they embraced it. Mm. That's why they're much more adapt at fundamentals. Because the knock on European players were they weren't physically tough.
They were soft.
To me, and I used to be thinking to myself, you know how much of a trash statement that is?
Right.
These guys are dodging missiles.
Yeah, that's a great point.
On a regular basis.
Whole different lifestyle.
They're dodging bullets, missiles launched at their homes. And they're not tough? I was like, come on. I never bought into all that stuff. And now they're coming in, starting to play professional at 13 and 14 years old. So they're ready to go.
Them so I understand cigarettes all that. At 16.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like with Wembanyama, he started playing professional young. I get that. We just got to hold up on the extras.
We're putting a little extra, little dip on the chippy right now because we're getting, he's the next LeBron, he's the next. I'm like, all right. God, this
no, is the greatest to ever come into the league ever is what they're saying.
Yeah, they're getting carried away with that for sure.
Ever.
I'm like, and not to mention, I know he's just sitting there like, hello. I mean, not.
Like, we didn't have a guy change all of college basketball in Kareem. I mean, Lou Alcindor. We didn't have the greatest champion ever in Bill Russell. The greatest pound-for-pound athlete in Will Chamberlain. The greatest marketing entity ever in Michael Jordan. Like, we've never had that. The greatest come out of high school play ever, LeBron James.
I don't even feel the hype with Victor Wembanyama. I don't even feel like it surpassed Zion. Remember, like
it doesn't even surpass.
Like I'm like everybody's like he's the most talked about prospect. I'm like nah, I feel like Zion. Like I remember like
Zion had hype.
That's what I mean. So I'm like I gotta sit down with all of this.
Another one that's probably never gonna play again. My goodness,
I know. He somehow is maybe not escaping it now, but it's getting to the point. Like, all right, Zion, like we're going to need you to come on out here and play and perform, brother.
Listen. I got to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
Funniest thing ever was what Charles Barkley said.
What did he say?
They're acting like they don't have restaurants in Portland when they send him up there.
True, but that Cajun food, it does
but
hit different.
The man has a thing about eating. That's what needs to be addressed first and foremost.
I mean, you put me down in New Orleans. I'm a whole different player, too.
I get that. Me, too.
Man.
But at some point in time, what's more important? The eating or your career?
Don't ask me right now.
Oh, okay.
Today. Hey, Olden, you see what I got sitting right here. I'm hungry. I ain't got nothing but a couple of crackers. Don't ask me right now. That's a bad question to ask me right now because I'm like, my priorities would be all out of whack right now. Brian Finlay, tell us what's trending so we can come back and talk about are the Heat possibly the least talented team to be in the finals?
You got it, Kelvin and Olden. So speaking of the Heat, actually just moments ago, their head coach Eric Spoelstra was talking to the media and was asked about the status. Are we going to know about Tyler Herro? Will he be back in time for tomorrow in game 2 dealing with that injury to his right hand? hand. And Spoelstra said the status has not changed yet, and he will let everybody know by tomorrow. So nothing, that is no news news, if you want to categorize it as that, as the team looks to have Hero back in the lineup after did not get him and his services for game one and that win for the Nuggets over the Heat 104-93 in Denver. NBA forward Julius Randle had surgery on his left ankle. The team says that don't worry, it's not going to affect his presence for the Knicks training camp coming up in the fall. Former UConn head coach Kevin Ollie, who was a former NBA player, won the national title as the coach for the Huskies in 2014, is going to be joining the Nets coaching staff. Josh Harris, who agreed on a deal to purchase the Washington Commanders about a month ago, hoping that this is the next step in getting the team under his ownership. He's going to be meeting, according to ESPN, with the NFL Finance Committee on Wednesday, which then could open the door to a final vote by NFL owners that could then sign off on this transaction. Game one of the Stanley Cup Final getting underway tonight in Vegas. Puck will be dropping at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. The Vegas Golden Knights, second time they've been in the Stanley Cup Final as they take on the Florida Panthers in a best-of-seven series. Major League Baseball, two games of note are going on right now. The Red Sox have scored seven unanswered, and they have taken a lead at home against the Rays, 7-4 in the top of the seventh in a battle out of the AL East. And the Tigers and the White Sox just wrapped up the fifth, and the White Sox are owning a 1-0 lead. Lastly, guys, we do have some golf going on, and it is the Memorial Tournament third round taking place in Dublin, Ohio. And the leader right now is, and we're looking through it right now as we speak, we do have Hideki Matsuyama as your leader. Yes, there it is. 9 under. He's got a 2-shot edge. And Patrick Cantlay is 2 shots behind as they're finishing up that front nine. With that, let's get it back to Kelvin Washington, Olden Polis. Maybe they're good golfers. You guys play?
Well, Olden said
yes, I do.
Man, you can tell, like, which one of us is running around with a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old. I'm over here like, really? Tell me more.
I love golf. Oh, a bad day on the course is still better than any day I could have.
Honestly, Brian, that's a great question. I've been sitting next to this man for an hour and a half, and the joy in his eyes when you just brought up golf, I have not seen this entire time you brought it up.
Oh, my God. It's, oh.
Okay, when did you get this? Was this during the playing days?
Yeah, I was playing. We used to do trips, you know, player trips for when you were like player reps and all that stuff. I became player rep my rookie year just to get a free trip. That's how it started, and then right. I kind of like got, then I cared. And so we went Hawaii, and so these guys are talking about, yeah, man, we're playing this golf course called Kapalua. I ain't know nothing about no Kapalua being one of the best golf courses ever. They're like, come on, come hang out with us. I was like, okay. I just went to hang out. And next thing I know, they give me a set of clubs. Hey, man, just to have it, you know, try. I'm horrible. First time. I don't know how to play. And the clubs aren't even mine. So I'm just whacking away. And then I remember the last hole. I'm so frustrated. The last hole, I hit a good drive. And my second shot, which was a 5-iron, I put in the hole.
Oh. Hooked ever since.
Ever since. I came home, bought clubs, got lessons. Oh, it's been that way since, man. That was what, 1994, 95, somewhere around there? Mm-hmm. Oh.
I want to play.
I love the game, man.
Yeah, I just... The way my life is set up.
The way my bank account's set up.
I kept having kids, and then the wife decided to keep being ambitious, and I'm in there to law school and all that. And so I'm just like, the brother ain't got time. And so I get out there, and I have an instructor. Shout out to my coach, Mike. And he's always, you know, like, all right, man, you got to get you out to it more. You're making progress, but you got to get out there and put it to performance. You got to practice. And I'm like, bro, I'll just see you in 3 months.
It's the greatest thing you could play. I swear to you, because it teaches you about life.
Oh, look at that. I thought basketball taught me about life. I used to say, if you take golf. put me on the court with any human, and I'll tell you what type of person they are by how they play.
No, golf. Because you got to be honest.
Yeah,
you can't cheat.
That is true.
Okay. Left is right. Right is left. Up is down. Down is up.
Yeah.
Weather comes into play.
True.
Your emotions, physical, mental, everything. Man, it's all encompassing. It is absurd how this relates to life.
So here's the thing, though. You know, I told you I'm like a practicing entertainment lawyer just through my wife. I might as well just be your agent and get you on the Golf Channel, bruh.
Get me on.
I mean, you the joy that it just came in you right now.
I keep telling these people, man, but you know they don't want to listen to me.
Nah, we have to get a brother on there. Hey, I hate that we talked about earlier. If you make any professional league, you have the utmost respect for me because all of us grew up being kids, and I'm going to play baseball, basketball, bowling, golf, whatever it is. I want to be a pro, and obviously 99% of us don't do it, and then the great fortunate like yourself who do, you know, have the utmost respect. But there are certain times where you can say that team is just not particularly the most talented team or have the most talent on the team, or, you know, you have guys that are all-stars, all NBA caliber. And you look at this Heat team, and it is actually an amazing feat to just simply be there. Now, they play very well. They're in a great system. You have a great coach. They have a great president of basketball operation, even a great owner over down there in Miami. But you look at this roster, and you're like, man, it is a bit underwhelming.
Yes, it is.
And you got to give credit. I look at this team. Jimmy Butler, by the way, game one, not great. 13-7-7. Bam Adebayo played well, 26-13. He's going to have to play well because the way, if you watch the game, they're sagging off of him.
Yeah.
He's going to have to make shots. He's going to have to make the Joker work.
He shot well. He played really well that game.
But after that, you got Gabe Vincent, 19, and Highsmith with 18. But 3 from Martin, 0 from Strus. Kyle Lowry, I mean, he gave you 11. That's about what you need from him. But you got Cody Zeller, 0. You didn't get anything from Kevin Love. And just Duncan Robinson only gave you 3.
Play.
He didn't play. But he didn't even play. You got Duncan Robinson only giving you 3. This team does not beat you over the head with talent. And if they're able to even win 2 games, it's kind of like, that's kind of, and I know they would hate to say it because I'm sure they have pride. They're looking at us. We're here. We're here for a reason. But, man.
You remember the 2003-2004 Detroit Pistons?
No, of course I remember being the biggest fan of them. But I'm watching with a little hesitation. Where are you going with this?
No, I'm just saying. You talk about teams that...
No.
Come on now.
No.
Chauncey Billups was damn near out the league.
Agreed. Until the year prior.
Ben Wallace was damn near out the league. Remember, he was trash in Orlando.
Agreed. Okay. But Rip was a real player.
Rip was what they only played. So between Rip Hamilton and Jimmy Butler, and
Rasheed
who you
Wallace.
Okay, Mr. Hothead. Okay.
So I'll give you that.
Okay.
Don't do that.
Come on now.
They say they were the best 5 alive, and I don't know if I can think of a better starting 5.
The team they beat? Come on now. Hold 4 on. Hall of Famers.
Yes, and they got destroyed. That, you know, it's funny. I look at that Pistons team similarly to the Denver Nuggets in that it's about putting all of them in their prime. No, obviously they didn't have a Jokic. But what I mean is Rip found his lane, found what he was great at. Larry Brown made the absolute best version of Chauncey Billups as a point guard. Rasheed was playing some of his best just, you know, defensively and understanding the system. Ben Wallace obviously at his apex. Like, they were the prime. It's not that they were the overly the most talented. They had a way of playing,
well,
and they were
the
all
question.
In their prime. But
has
they were more talented.
Team? I don't think so.
Okay,
think
if Jimmy Butler
pound.
Is the if Jimmy Butler is the Rip or the Chauncey,
yeah.
Then that Heat team does this.
Bam Adebayo is way better than freaking Ben Wallace. Come
I don't
on
think
now.
He is.
Oh my Lord.
See,
offensively?
But that doesn't mean anything if you're not
offensively.
Great. Yes, for sure. Bam Adebayo is better offensively. But Bam Adebayo is no way near as great or has the impact that Ben Wallace had on the game. You know that. You're
and
right
he
against him.
Should.
Now we can argue that. I mean, we can agree on that.
And that's where Miami has issues. And that's where Boston has issues. A lot of these guys don't play to their full potentials. They are relying on what they're hearing. Oh, you're an all-star. You're this. You're that. Oh, you're the man. Instead of just going out there and playing. That was the difference. Ben Wallace was still trying to earn his keep. And a lot of these young guys now, it's like, I'm in the NBA. I'm an all-star.
I'm making stupid money.
I've made it. So now I don't have to work anymore. And you're going to have teams. So hence the Denver Nuggets. They're like, well, we've made it. We have money. We're all-stars. We're defensive, you know, we're MVPs, but we're still working hard.
We're still hungry. Again, and that's why I think when you watch this Nuggets team, you're realizing, man, you ran up on a team where you have an MVP caliber player probably an MVP caliber for the next 5 years. In his prime, Jamal Murray coming back for injury in his prime. Aaron Gordon playing the best basketball we've ever seen. KCP, a champion, knows how exactly what to do, still in his prime for another couple of years. Bruce Brown in his prime. Like, you got all these guys in their prime hungry. Some of them counted out and down. I'm like, man, this is going to be a very difficult team to beat.
I like that young boy, Christian Braun.
They got him just sitting on the bench.
I like him.
He's coming in and ready to dunk on somebody.
I like him, man. He comes in. He's such a talent, you know. And that's the beauty of it. A lot of these guys, you know these players because they played in college.
Yeah.
So you
build what is that, college?
Yeah. Because you build relationship.
It ain't the same no more.
Yeah. So it's like I get to know you. And so you learn how to play the game. And so to me, man, I love what they do. And so And it's a copycat league. Watch. Everybody's going to try to get like the Denver Nuggets. Everybody tried with the Warriors.
Oh, boy.
When the Warriors did what they did, we had this. But now watch. The big man's going to come back because of Jokic.
Well, let me ask you this, man. I mean, my gosh. Are you excited for the 30 for 30 when it talks about he came in, he's the greatest shooter we've ever seen. Steph Curry for three. Champion. MVP. But he also ruined the game.
That's
what if I told
statement.
You that you can be the best shooter and also be responsible for the poor basketball we see now?
Steph didn't do it.
It's
These
not
fools
Steph,
did
but you know what I mean.
Thinking that they were Steph.
My gosh, between Steph Curry doing it in such a fashionable way and then obviously Klay Thompson and the Splash Brothers.
He made it look easy.
He did. And it took to credit Kenny Smith and not although TNT, they always say Stephless. And then you have the analytics. That combination was deadly and detrimental to our game, man. I said our game like I played. Our game. The game that I love, Olden.
It's our game.
Like,
we're fans.
Steph made everybody. You've seen these young players. If you go, dude, I coach my daughter's team. She was 5 at the time. She's 6 and a half now. Kids who are literally 6 are coming down jacking 2 steps past half court. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa.
All day. I'm like, you barely can't even reach the rim.
Right. And every bit of their might swinging.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I blame Steph tongue in cheek, but I'm just saying, like, between him and all of a sudden the analytics, it hurt the game. But you are going to play coach/GM, but mainly coach. You're going to sell me on how the Heat can win game 2, if at all, if there's a chance. You're going to break that down for us. Next, again, we are, of course, we're here, Fox Sports Radio, Olden Polynice 1, Kate up live for myself on social media, Fox Sports Radio. I want to let the beat build. There you go. Let me tell you, you don't know about my music. This is music right here. This is some music. Jonas Knox Show, Kelvin Washington, Olden Polynice, one more time for you. A few more minutes before we get out of here. Olden Polynice 1, social media for him. K-Dub live for myself. Been a good day. Hopefully you've enjoyed the show, running errands, taking care of whatever you're doing, watching little sports, whatever it may be. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. As always, this is the Fox Sports Radio Zone Radio live from the TireRack.com studios. Are we doing the progressive play of the day? Is that the end of the show? When are we doing that?
Struck out a batter and walked about it.
And there's a shot to left and deep headed toward the Dodger bullpen. It's gone! Mookie Betts is on a tear. This is his second home run of the night, and the Dodgers now have an 8-2 lead.
We really have to do that?
My bad. I didn't mean. I mean, I'm just doing what's on the rundown here.
Had to replay that?
Yes, that was a Dodgers Radio Network right there, brought to you by.
Oh, I forgot. Sorry, Olden.
Yankee guy here. That was brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your motorcycle, RV, boat, ATV, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com. Yes, the Yankees got smacked up. Kershaw got his first career win against the Yankees, by the way. He's been around so long, you think he'd have that, but he got his first career win against the Yankees. Mookie Betts gets a couple of home runs. Olden Polynice is looking at me like I'm crazy. Like, would you shut up about it? You got 2 more chances to get a win. But coach me up. We're the Heat.
We lost game one.
we didn't look great. We fought hard, which is kind of our makeup. Jimmy Butler only hits 13. You don't get anything from a couple other players that you expected to get things from. Bam was really the only really good player that game. What do we do, coach? How do we even this thing up?
It's not going to happen, first of all.
Coach, you can't tell us that.
Yeah. Guys, we just got to suck it up, man. We're not as good as these guys. I don't want to give it up because I want Denver to win.
Okay.
I want to bring back the big guy. Yeah. You know?
Well, but, tell me more about that thing.
At the same time, I do believe, knocking down shots, you know, is a 50-50 proposition. You know, Strus had wide open shots.
He did. Missed.
So I'm going to, like, just reinforcing him, hey, you're a shooter. Keep shooting, you know. But again, even if he makes these shots, I still believe that Denver is just a much better team.
Because they are.
I don't think they can defend Denver. That's the key. They just can't defend them.
I mean, and there's so many mismatches. I mean, right now, obviously, you're missing a guy who can get you 20 a game in Tyler Hero. That's huge, right? Because sometimes historically, the last 7-8 years, they go on these droughts where they can't really score. They'll defend you well, but they can't score. Tyler Hero's a guy who can get a bucket in the system or on his own.
Yeah.
You need that.
Definitely.
They don't have that. But one thing Denver is doing, and it does not help if you're the Heat, having a guy who's 7-foot whatever Jokic is, who is just looking over the defense, finding the mismatch. Let's see. Aaron Gordon has a mouse in the house.
Yeah, Gabe Vincent.
Gabe Vincent's on him. Let's just dump it down to him and see he can dunk on him. Oh, okay, Jamal Murray. I noticed last time they went under on the pick. All right, cool. This time I'm just backdoor you. And, you know, he's just like dissecting it. He's playing incredible basketball right now. And, again, they're just in their prime and hungry. But I do think, to your point, the Heat hit a few shots early, hit a few big threes, get into it. They're still going to play hard and defensively. You never know when it starts to, you know, because that changes how I have to defend you. Now maybe they're over-pursuing the defensive on the three-point line and they get some back cuts. But Jimmy Butler, you said it earlier. Jimmy Butler can't just play better and have like 22 points. Jimmy Butler's got to have like a 35-point night.
35-40. And at the end of the day, it's just that Denver is going to win the series, whether it's a sweep, a gentleman's sweep, or 6-7, whatever the numbers are. They're going to win. They're just that much better.
Yeah, Denver is obviously the better team. And what's really interesting is going to be, not to forecast too far, but just will this team be a team now that have a nice 4 or 5 year run? Because their two stars are in their primes and young. All right, Fox Sports Radio, we're out of here. Enjoy the weekend.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.